When you saw me, what did you mean by saying that you thought, and then stopping short? What did you think?
May I tell you?
Of course.
It will not sound very civil. I was on the point of saying I thought you were a plain woman.
Oh, for shame, Hector. What right had you to notice whether I am plain or not?
Listen to me, Ariadne. Until today, I had only seen photographs of you, and no photograph can give the strange fascination of the daughters of that supernatural old man. There is some damnable quality in them that destroys men's moral sense and carries them beyond honor and dishonor. You know that, don't you?
Perhaps I do, Hector. But let me warn you once and for all that I am a rigidly conventional woman. You may think because I'm a shot over that I'm a bohemian because we are all so horribly bohemian, but I'm not. I hate and loathe bohemianism. No child brought up in a strict Puritan household ever suffered from Puritanism as I suffered from bohemianism.
Our children are like that. They spend their holidays in the houses of their respectable schoolfellows.
I shall invite them for Christmas.
Their absence leaves us both without our natural chaperones.
Children are certainly very inconvenient sometimes, but intelligent people can always manage, unless they are bohemians.
You are no bohemian, but you are no Puritan either. Your attraction is alive and powerful. What sort of woman do you count yourself?
I am a woman of the world, Hector. And I can assure you that if you will only take the trouble always to do the perfectly correct thing and to say the perfectly correct thing, you can do just what you like. An ill-conducted, careless woman gets simply no chance. An ill-conducted, careless man is never allowed within arm's length of any woman worth knowing.
I see. You are neither a bohemian woman nor a Puritan woman. You are a dangerous woman.
On the contrary. I am a safe woman.
Ha! You are a most accursedly attractive woman. Mind, I'm not making love to you. I do not like being attracted. But you had better know how I feel about you if you are going to stay here.
You are an exceedingly clever lady killer, Hector. And terribly handsome. I am quite a good player myself at that game. Is it quite understood that we are only playing?
Quite. I am deliberately playing the fool out of sheer worthlessness.
Well, you are my brother-in-law. Hesione asked you to kiss me.
He seizes her in his arms and kisses her strenuously.
Oh, that was a little more than play, brother-in-law.
She pushes him suddenly away.
You shall not do that again.
You got your claws deeper into me than I intended.
Mrs. Hushabye comes in from the garden.
Don't let me disturb you. I only want a cap to put on Daddyus. The sun is setting and he'll catch cold.
Your husband is quite charming, darling. He has actually condescended to kiss me at last. I shall go into the garden now. It's cooler.
She goes out by the port door.
Take care, dear child. I don't believe any man can kiss Addie without falling in love with her.
She goes into the hall.
Hector strikes himself on the chest.
Oh, fool! Goat!
Mrs. Hushabye comes back with the captain's cap.
Your sister is an extremely enterprising old girl. Where's Miss Dunn?
Mangan says she's gone up to her room for a nap. Addie won't let you talk to Ellie. She has marked you for her own.
Oh, she is the diabolical family fascination. I began making love to her automatically. What am I to do? I can't fall in love, and I can't hurt a woman's feelings by telling her so when she falls in love with me. And, as women are always falling in love with my mustache, I get landed in all sorts of tedious and terrifying flirtations in which I'm not in the least bit in earnest.
Oh, neither is Addie. She has never been in love in her life, though she has always been trying to fall in head over ears. She is worse than you, because you had one real go at least with me.
That was a confounded madness. I can't believe that such an amazing experience is common. It has left its mark on me. I believe that is why I've never been able to repeat it.
We were frightfully in love with one another, Hector. It was such an enchanting dream that I've never been able to grudge it to you or anyone else since. I've invited all sorts of pretty women to the house on the chance of giving you another turn, but it has never come off.
I don't know that I wanted to come off. It was damn dangerous. You fascinated me, but I loved you, so it was heaven. This sister of yours fascinates me, but I hate her, so it is hell. I shall kill her if she persists.
Nothing will kill Addie. She is as strong as a horse. Now, I'm going off to fascinate somebody.
The Foreign Office, Toph? Randall?
Goodness gracious, no. Why should I fascinate him?
I presume you don't mean the bloated capitalist Mangan.
Well, I think he had better be fascinated by me than by Ellie.
She's going into the garden when the captain comes in from it with some sticks in his hand.
What have you got there, Daddius?
Dynamite.
You've been to the gravel pit. Don't drop it about the house. There's a deer.
She goes into the garden.
Where the evening light is now very red.
Listen, Osage. How long dare you concentrate on a feeling without risking having it fixed in your consciousness all the rest of your life?
90 minutes. An hour and a half.
He goes into the pantry.
Hector, left alone, contracts his brow and falls into a daydream.
He does not move for some time.
Then he folds his arms.
Then, throwing his hands behind him and gripping one with the other, he strides tragically once to and fro.
Suddenly, he snatches his walking stick from the teak table and draws it, for it is a sword stick. He fights a desperate duel with an imaginary antagonist.
And after many vicissitudes, runs him through the body up to the hilt.
He sheathes his sword and throws it on the sofa.
Falling into another reverie as he does so.
He looks straight into the eyes of an imaginary woman, seizes her by the arms, and says in a deep and thrilling tone,
"Do you love me?"
The captain comes out of the pantry at this moment.
And Hector, caught with his arms stretched out and his fists clenched,
has to account for his attitude by going through a series of gymnastic exercises.
That sort of strength is no good. You will never be as strong as a gorilla.